The Happiness Hypothesis by Jonathan Haidt. Books.Kim, free summaries of best-selling books. Download PDF and MP3 versions of the summary from www.books.kim. The latest effective learning methodology has been utilized to construct the summary, ensuring that you can easily retain the key takeaways. The technique involves a great deal of repetition and rephrasing, which have been proven to be highly effective when it comes to information retention. In fact, this is the same approach employed in memorizing poems. Our objective is to not only help you comprehend the most significant concepts, but also enable you to recall and apply them in your daily life. Summary. The Happiness Hypothesis by Jonathan Haidt is a book that explores the idea that happiness is a combination of ancient wisdom and modern science. Haidt examines the various theories of happiness from both Eastern and Western perspectives and argues that the two are not mutually exclusive. He argues that the key to happiness is to find a balance between the two and to use both to create a life of meaning and purpose. Haidt begins by discussing the concept of the happiness hypothesis, which is the idea that happiness is a combination of ancient wisdom and modern science. He then examines the various theories of happiness from both Eastern and Western perspectives and argues that the two are not mutually exclusive. He argues that the key to happiness is to find a balance between the two and to use both to create a life of meaning and purpose. Haidt then examines the various theories of happiness from both Eastern and Western perspectives and argues that the two are not mutually exclusive. He argues that the key to happiness is to find a balance between the two and to use both to create a life of meaning and purpose. He then examines the various theories of happiness from both Eastern and Western perspectives and argues that the two are not mutually exclusive. He argues that the key to happiness is to find a balance between the two and to use both to create a life of meaning and purpose. Haidt then examines the various theories of happiness from both Eastern and Western perspectives and argues that the two are not mutually exclusive. He argues that the key to happiness is to find a balance between the two and to use both to create a life of meaning and purpose. He then examines the various theories of happiness from both Eastern and Western perspectives and argues that the two are not mutually exclusive. He argues that the key to happiness is to find a balance between the two and to use both to create a life of meaning and purpose. Haidt then examines the various theories of happiness from both Eastern and Western perspectives and argues that the two are not mutually exclusive. He argues that the key to happiness is to find a balance between the two and to use both to create a life of meaning and purpose. He then examines the various theories of happiness from both Eastern and Western perspectives and argues that the two are not mutually exclusive. He argues that the key to happiness is to find a balance between the two and to use both to create a life of meaning and purpose. He then examines the various theories of happiness from both Eastern and Western perspectives and argues that the two are not mutually exclusive. He argues that the key to happiness is to find a balance between the two and to use both to create a life of meaning and purpose. Haidt then examines the various theories of happiness from both Eastern and Western perspectives and argues that the two are not mutually exclusive. He argues that the key to happiness is to find a balance between the two and to use both to create a life of meaning and purpose. He then examines the various theories of happiness from both Eastern and Western perspectives and argues that the two are not mutually exclusive. He argues that the key to happiness is to find a balance between the two and to use both to create a life of meaning and purpose. He then examines the various theories of happiness from both Eastern and Western perspectives and argues that the two are not mutually exclusive. He argues that the key to happiness is to find a balance between the two and to use both to create a life of meaning and purpose. He then examines the various theories of happiness from both Eastern and Western perspectives and argues that the two are not mutually exclusive. He argues that the key to happiness is to find a balance between the two and to use both to create a life of meaning and purpose. Haidt then examines the various theories of happiness from both Eastern and Western perspectives and argues that the two are not mutually exclusive. He argues that the key to happiness is to find a balance between the two, and to use both to create a life of meaning and purpose. He then examines the various theories of happiness from both Eastern and Western perspectives, and argues that the two are not mutually exclusive. He argues that the key to happiness is to find a balance between the two, and to use both to create a life of meaning and purpose. He then examines the various theories of happiness from both Eastern and Western perspectives, and argues that the two are not mutually exclusive. He argues that the key to happiness is to find a balance between the two, and to use both to create a life of meaning and purpose. He then examines the various theories of happiness from both Eastern and Western perspectives, and argues that the two are not mutually exclusive. He argues that the key to happiness is to find a balance between the two, and to use both to create a life of meaning and purpose. He then examines the various theories of happiness from both Eastern and Western perspectives, and argues that the two are not mutually exclusive. He argues that the key to happiness is to find a balance between the two, and to use both to create a life of meaning and purpose. Haidt concludes by discussing the importance of finding a balance between the two perspectives, and argues that this is the key to achieving true happiness. He also argues that happiness is not a static state, but rather a process of continual growth and development. He argues that by understanding the various theories of happiness, we can create a life of meaning and purpose, and ultimately achieve true happiness. Main ideas. Main idea number 1. The ancient Greek philosopher Epicurus believed that the key to happiness was to minimize desires and maximize pleasure. Summary: Epicurus believed that the key to happiness was to reduce desires and maximize pleasure, a concept that has been echoed throughout history. Main idea number 2. The Stoics believed that happiness was found in accepting the world as it is and not trying to change it. Summary: The Stoics believed that happiness was found in accepting the world as it is, rather than trying to change it, and that this acceptance was the key to contentment. Main idea number 3. The Buddha taught that the root of suffering was attachment to desires and that the path to happiness was to let go of those attachments. Summary: The Buddha taught that the root of suffering was attachment to desires, and that the path to happiness was to let go of those attachments and find contentment in the present moment. Main idea number 4. Aristotle believed that happiness was found in cultivating virtue and living a life of moderation. Summary: Aristotle believed that happiness was found in cultivating virtue and living a life of moderation, which would lead to a life of balance and fulfillment. Main idea number 5. The modern scientific view of happiness is that it is a combination of genetics, environment, and behavior. Summary: The modern scientific view of happiness is that it is a combination of genetics, environment, and behavior, and that each of these factors can influence one's overall level of happiness. Main idea number 6. Positive psychology focuses on cultivating positive emotions and experiences in order to increase happiness. Summary: Positive psychology focuses on cultivating positive emotions and experiences in order to increase happiness, rather than simply trying to reduce negative emotions. Main idea number 7. The hedonic treadmill suggests that people quickly adapt to new levels of happiness and return to their baseline level of happiness. Summary: The hedonic treadmill suggests that people quickly adapt to new levels of happiness and return to their baseline level of happiness, regardless of how much their circumstances have changed. Main idea number 8. Flow is a state of intense focus and enjoyment that can lead to increased happiness. Summary: Flow is a state of intense focus and enjoyment that can lead to increased happiness, as it allows people to become completely immersed in an activity and experience a sense of fulfillment. Main idea number 9. Gratitude is an important factor in happiness, as it allows people to appreciate the good things in their lives. Summary: Gratitude is an important factor in happiness, as it allows people to appreciate the good things in their lives and recognize the positive aspects of their circumstances. Main idea number 10. Social relationships are essential for happiness, as they provide support, companionship, and a sense of belonging. Summary: Social relationships are essential for happiness, as they provide support, companionship, and a sense of belonging, which can help people to feel more connected and fulfilled. Main ideas expanded. Main idea number 1. The ancient Greek philosopher Epicurus believed that the key to happiness was to minimize desires and maximize pleasure. He argued that if we can reduce our desires to only those that are necessary for our survival and well-being, then we can focus on enjoying the pleasure that comes from fulfilling those desires. Epicurus believed that by doing this, we can achieve a state of contentment and satisfaction. This concept has been echoed throughout history, with many philosophers and thinkers advocating for a life of moderation and balance. Epicurus' philosophy is still relevant today, as it encourages us to focus on the things that bring us joy and satisfaction, rather than chasing after material possessions or striving for perfection. By recognizing our own needs and desires, and striving to fulfill them in a balanced way, we can find true happiness and contentment. Main idea number 2. The Stoics believed that happiness was found in accepting the world as it is, rather than trying to change it. They argued that this acceptance was the key to contentment, and that by embracing the world as it is, one could find peace and joy. The Stoics believed that this acceptance was not a passive resignation, but rather an active engagement with the world. They argued that by understanding the world and its limitations, one could find a way to live within them and still find joy and satisfaction. The Stoics also believed that by accepting the world as it is, one could find a way to make the most of it, and to make the best of any situation. They argued that by understanding the world and its limitations, one could find a way to make the most of it, and to make the best of any situation. The Stoics argued that by accepting the world as it is, one could find a way to live within it and still find joy and satisfaction. They believed that this acceptance was not a passive resignation, but rather an active engagement with the world. They argued that by understanding the world and its limitations, one could find a way to make the most of it, and to make the best of any situation. The Stoics also believed that by accepting the world as it is, one could find a way to make the most of it, and to make the best of any situation. They argued that by understanding the world and its limitations, one could find a way to make the most of it, and to make the best of any situation, even in the face of adversity. Main idea number 3. The Buddha taught that the root of suffering was attachment to desires. He believed that when we become attached to our desires, we become attached to the idea of having them fulfilled, and when they are not fulfilled, we suffer. The path to happiness, according to the Buddha, is to let go of those attachments and find contentment in the present moment. This means accepting that life is full of impermanence and that nothing lasts forever. It also means recognizing that our desires can never be fully satisfied, and that we must learn to be content with what we have. By letting go of our attachments, we can find peace and joy in the present moment, and this is the key to true happiness. Main idea number 4. Aristotle believed that happiness was found in cultivating virtue and living a life of moderation. He argued that a life of balance and moderation was the key to achieving true happiness. He believed that by cultivating virtue and living a life of moderation, one could achieve a life of balance and fulfillment. Aristotle argued that by living a life of moderation, one could avoid the extremes of excess and deficiency, which could lead to unhappiness. He believed that by living a life of moderation, one could find true happiness and contentment. Aristotle's philosophy of happiness was based on the idea that by living a life of moderation, one could achieve a life of balance and fulfillment. Main idea number 5. The modern scientific view of happiness is that it is a combination of genetics, environment, and behavior. Genetics can influence our predisposition to certain emotions, such as happiness, and our ability to regulate our emotions. Our environment can also play a role in our happiness, as it can provide us with opportunities to engage in activities that bring us joy, or it can be a source of stress and unhappiness. Finally, our behavior can also affect our happiness, as our choices and actions can either lead us to a more fulfilling life or a more difficult one. The combination of these three factors can have a significant impact on our overall level of happiness. For example, if we have a genetic predisposition to be more prone to negative emotions, our environment and behavior can help us to counteract this tendency. Similarly, if our environment is filled with stressors, our behavior and genetics can help us to cope with these stressors and find ways to be happy. Ultimately, it is important to recognize that our happiness is a complex combination of genetics, environment, and behavior, and that each of these factors can influence our overall level of happiness. Main idea number 6. Positive psychology is a branch of psychology that focuses on cultivating positive emotions and experiences in order to increase happiness. It is based on the idea that, rather than simply trying to reduce negative emotions, it is possible to increase positive emotions and experiences in order to create a more fulfilling life. Positive psychology focuses on developing skills such as resilience, optimism, and gratitude, as well as cultivating positive relationships and meaningful activities. It also emphasizes the importance of self-care and self-compassion, as well as the power of positive thinking. By focusing on these areas, positive psychology seeks to create a more balanced and fulfilling life. The concept of positive psychology was first introduced by psychologist Jonathan Haidt in his book The Happiness Hypothesis. In it, he argues that happiness is not a static state, but rather a dynamic process that involves both positive and negative emotions. He suggests that, by focusing on cultivating positive emotions and experiences, it is possible to increase overall happiness. He also emphasizes the importance of developing skills such as resilience, optimism, and gratitude, as well as cultivating positive relationships and meaningful activities. Main idea number 7. The hedonic treadmill, also known as the hedonic adaptation, is an idea that suggests that people quickly adapt to new levels of happiness and return to their baseline level of happiness. This idea suggests that no matter how much our circumstances change, our level of happiness will eventually return to the same baseline level. This means that even if we experience a great deal of success or wealth, our happiness will eventually return to the same level as before. This idea has been supported by research, which has found that people who experience a sudden increase in wealth or success often return to their baseline level of happiness within a few months. The hedonic treadmill suggests that our level of happiness is largely determined by our expectations. If our expectations are too high, we may experience disappointment when our expectations are not met. On the other hand, if our expectations are too low, we may not experience the same level of happiness when our expectations are exceeded. This means that it is important to have realistic expectations in order to experience true happiness. The hedonic treadmill also suggests that it is important to focus on the present moment and to appreciate the small things in life. This means that it is important to take time to appreciate the good things in life, such as spending time with family and friends, and to savor the small moments of joy. This can help us to maintain a higher level of happiness, even when our circumstances change. Main idea number 8. Flow is a state of intense focus and enjoyment that can lead to increased happiness. It is a state of being in which a person is completely immersed in an activity and experiences a sense of fulfillment and joy. Flow is often associated with creative activities, such as painting, writing, or playing music, but it can also be experienced in everyday activities, such as running, cooking, or even doing chores. When in a state of flow, a person is completely focused on the task at hand, and is able to forget about the outside world and any worries or anxieties they may have. This intense focus allows them to become completely absorbed in the activity, and to experience a sense of joy and satisfaction. Flow can also lead to increased productivity, as it allows people to work more efficiently and effectively. Additionally, it can lead to improved mental and physical health, as it can reduce stress and anxiety, and help people to feel more relaxed and content. The concept of flow was first introduced by psychologist Mihaly Csikszentmihalyi in his book Flow, The Psychology of Optimal Experience. In it, he explains that flow is a state of intense focus and enjoyment that can lead to increased happiness. He argues that when people are in a state of flow, they are able to become completely immersed in an activity and experience a sense of fulfillment. He also suggests that flow can lead to improved performance, as it allows people to become more focused and productive. Additionally, he argues that flow can lead to improved mental and physical health, as it can reduce stress and anxiety, and help people to feel more relaxed and content. Main idea number 9. Gratitude is an important factor in happiness, as it allows people to appreciate the good things in their lives. By taking the time to recognize and be thankful for the positive aspects of their lives, people can cultivate a sense of contentment and joy. Gratitude can also help people to cope with difficult situations, as it allows them to focus on the good things in their lives and not be overwhelmed by the negative. Additionally, gratitude can help to foster relationships, as it encourages people to express their appreciation for the people in their lives. Finally, gratitude can help to create a sense of purpose and meaning, as it allows people to recognize the importance of their lives and the impact they have on others. Gratitude is a powerful emotion that can have a profound effect on our lives. It can help us to appreciate the good things in our lives, cope with difficult situations, foster relationships, and create a sense of purpose and meaning. By taking the time to recognize and be thankful for the positive aspects of our lives, we can cultivate a sense of contentment and joy that can help us to lead a happier and more fulfilling life. Main idea number 10. Social relationships are essential for happiness, as they provide support, companionship, and a sense of belonging. Having strong social relationships can help people to feel more connected and fulfilled, as they can rely on others for emotional support and understanding. Having a sense of belonging can also help to reduce feelings of loneliness and isolation, which can be detrimental to mental health. Furthermore, having meaningful relationships can provide a sense of purpose and meaning in life, which can help to increase overall happiness. Having strong social relationships can also help to increase self-esteem and confidence, as people can feel valued and appreciated by their peers. Additionally, having meaningful relationships can provide a sense of security and stability, which can help to reduce stress and anxiety. Furthermore, having strong social relationships can help to increase motivation and productivity, as people can rely on others for support and encouragement. Overall, social relationships are essential for happiness, as they provide support, companionship, and a sense of belonging. Having strong social relationships can help people to feel more connected and fulfilled, as well as providing a sense of purpose and meaning in life. Additionally, having strong social relationships can help to increase self-esteem and confidence, as well as providing a sense of security and stability. As we come to the conclusion of this book summary, we would like to express our sincere gratitude for taking the time to read or listen to it. Your feedback means the world to us, so we kindly ask that you rate our summary and share it with others who might benefit from it. Additionally, if you're hungry for more great reads, be sure to check out our website at www.book.kim. Thank you again for your support and happy reading.